This is the Bears Barroom Radio Network. The following program is recorded live and intended for all audiences.
This is the National Football League. You got a bunch of owners who inherit teams who are members of the Lucky Sperm Club who are trying to negotiate in 2018 high-tech type of agents. And I just think Ted Phillips and Ryan Pace are overmatched. And I think it's bad for the whole football team. And it's a cloud that hangs over the head of the Bears and Matt Nagy and what they want to do. How many times you heard this? I'm going to Vegas. I go, how'd you do? Well, if I lost $4,000, but you know, you go there to have fun. No, you go there to win. And that's what's wrong with people. They have the negative mentality in anything they do, including sports, before they even laid the bet down. So you gotta be positive. The people that really scare me, the people that can walk in those electric carts. And they go to the slot machine and sit on them. And then they forget that they're supposed to be, you know, crippled from the waist down. Have a bear standing with a towel in his hands, rubbing his crotch. Bear ball washer. What you got to really try to do is money manage and only bet one or two games on a Sunday. That's what we'll be doing on Bear Barroom.
You're listening to the Mike North Advantage, and it begins right now.
That's right. The Mike North Advantage begins right now. My name is Aldo Gandia. I am Mike's wingman. Mike North, you were 3-1 in your picks last week. You predicted the Bears would cover. How are you doing? Have you spent all that money yet?
No, what I'm doing is I just socked it away. We went 3-1. I'm up 790 units. If you take the juice off on the one loss. It was great. We did $500 units on Kansas City. We did 300 on another winner. We did one with the New York Giants, which was our only loss. We did 300 on the Bears and 100 with New England. So we did 100 with New England, 300 with the Bears, 500 with Kansas City, our only loss. The Giants lose by five. They were getting three. You take the 10% of the juice, you got 790 units. You got a good little base going in to week two here on Bears Barroom, Aldo.
Let's keep it going because I need a new driveway.
Well, I mean, if you're not going to take my picks, the driveway's never going to materialize. That's how
right.
I'm feeling. The shower's working. The plumbing's working. You took my picks. You're doing well. Thinking of getting a new light fixture for the hallway. These are things that are possible, but you got to play.
You got to play. Absolutely. Got
to play.
All right, and the best way to play and be informed is to listen to the Mike North Advantage every Friday, 9 a.m. Central, right here on MixLR.com. If you're not a member, just go over to MixLR.com. In the search bar, type in Bears Barroom Radio Network. You'll get email alerts as to all of our live shows, and that includes Bears Hour Live on Monday nights, Buffon 55 on Wednesday, and, of course, the great Mike North Advantage on Fridays. In addition, the show is out in podcast version a little later in the day on Friday, so you can listen to it over the weekend on Sunday before betting. You can go over to Mike's Tips and then win some units. So,
well, you want to win some units, and let me just say this. Last week was an easy week. I think a lot of people did win. The thing I'm fearful of is I went 12-3-1 in the Chicago Sun-Times. I make my picks every week.
Mm-hmm.
That's ridiculous. That might never happen again. Yeah. I may go 5-11 next week or something like that. All I'm going to say is picking the whole board is tough. I got lucky the first week, but to give an example, last year I ended up 8 games under 500 in the Sun-Times for one reason only. This is the truth. And I consider myself the best at handicapping. I had a 1-15 week. I never thought that would happen. I almost went 0-16. So I climbed. That was in like week 4.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to battle because I was under 500 the whole year, but I only had like 3 losing weeks. But the one week you want to avoid was the 1-15 week. So I went the other way this time. Hopefully this 12-3-1 week in the Sun-Times will carry me in case I have some bad weeks.
Right. Is it more difficult to predict games earlier in the season than later in the season?
I think it's easier. I think that then the Vegas people, the bookmakers, the odds makers, they get a better gauge. There's money to be made, but once again, what we did last week is what I'm preaching to everybody is you don't bet the whole board. You don't blow your load on one game. You try to pick three, four games. If you get lucky the first week, yeah, you got a base. Don't be scared. There's no place for scared money when you are gambling, but you have to be prudent, and you got to know that it's not going to happen like it happened last week. Every week there's going to be down, they're going to be up, and in between.
I just noticed that Greg Braggs Jr. is in the chat room. He is one of the most diehard Chicago Cubs fans out there, besides being a great Bears fan. And I just want to tell Greg that at the end of the show, I am going to ask Mike about how he feels about this slim game and a half lead the Cubs have in their division. But we're going to talk football. Let's begin with talking a little bit about last night's game, that Cincinnati 34-23 win over Baltimore. I got to tell you, I was on the Fantasy Football Goon Show. He asked me to pick that game, and I said, Ravens, yeah, the Ravens were going to cover. I should have said, I don't know.
Well, no, it was a picket game, and it ended up that I took the Ravens, too. There's no shame in that. Half the country took the Ravens last night, and half the country took Cincinnati. So there's people smiling today. I thought the one key that really hurt, we got a pass interference call. When I say we, every team I bet, I'm like the owner. The Ravens got a holding call on number 25. He didn't really hold, but if you had Cincinnati, you think he did. Mm-hmm. And if you have Baltimore, you think he did. It was a ticky-tack call. In fact, Troy Aikman was very effusive on criticizing Walt Anderson, the referee, last night on some calls, including a sack of the quarterback that resulted, or a late hit that wasn't a late hit that resulted in a 15-yard penalty. So the refs are still controlling the game. Walt Anderson is the quarterback protector, and he came through for the Bengals last night because the referees did give them a little help. Other than that, Joe Flacco was absolutely, I think, horrendous. Yeah. I think his receivers need an upgrade. They couldn't. Michael Crabtree, to me, never materialized to what I think he should be. He dropped a couple passes. You can't do that. And then it ended up, especially on the road, Cincinnati with a big win. And in the first half, they looked 85 bearish. I'm not exaggerating. They were all over the place on defense. So, but Marvin Lewis, at the end of the first half, passes the ball three straight times, gives Baltimore time to come back down and score, put them back in the game, only down 11. They'll lose at the end of the day because of their head coach who's been there 16 years and is 0-7 in the playoffs. He's had a free ride.
Marvin Lewis has photographs, right?
He's got him.
What's going on?
He's got him. He's horrible. Wild. I mean, last night, I mean, you got to keep running the ball. He's throwing the ball all over the lot. What are you doing?
Our good buddy Batch 40 in the chat room says he really loves Mike's show. Don't we all? We all love Mike's show. We're so lucky.
I'm jacked up about this show.
Now, we have to, let's see if he still loves you after your comments on the Chicago Bears loss to the Green Bay Packers. I want to talk about Trubisky. I want to talk about Matt Nagy. I want to talk about this Bears defense. But first, let me just ask you your overall thoughts about that heartbreaking loss to the Green Bay Packers Sunday night.
You get an A for the first half and up for the second half.
That's simple.
I mean, that's basically what we're talking about. I mean, I got, you know, here's the thing that I'm encountering on social media. I don't know if I want to communicate with Bear fans under 30 because they try to debate with me on stuff. I had a guy actually bring up Allen Robinson and the Jordy Nelson thing on Twitter. Okay? Oh, you wanted Jordy Nelson more than Allen Robinson. What do you know? Mm-hmm. Jordy Nelson had three catches last week for 30 yards. Allen Robinson had four for 67. He had one. He disappeared in the second half. And you know what? I'll stick with Derek Carr as the quarterback. But to make a statement like that, you're not paying attention. And then he brings up the fact that what would you have done? Signed Jerry Rice at 41? Do you know how many catches Jerry Rice had at 41, Aldo?
No, I don't.
63.
That's not bad. That's about how many Allen Robinson have.
That's an Allen Robinson year now. Are you kidding me? So please, if you don't know football or if you don't know Bear history or you're going to try to debate me, who made millions of dollars doing this, You got to be sharper, and you got to do your homework.
Got to do your homework when you're confronting Mike North.
You got to. I don't mind going with them, but then when they call you a clown or an idiot, you beat them. You beat them. They have nothing left.
Well, you called head coach Matt Nagy Wani Nagy, which I love that moniker, but explain to the audience why you attach that moniker to the new Chicago Bears head coach.
Stupid comments. I mean, telling people that they didn't have enough reps in the preseason. Well, who's in charge of that? You. I mean, just fundamentally flawed as a head football coach in his first game. Now, I'm not saying he's not going to get better. He better. But then when he got away from the run, you have a third and one. You have a fourth and one. I don't care what it is. You're running twice. You got Jordan Howard, who's been running all over the place. You had a team, the Chicago Bears, who outrushed Green Bay 139-69. And this guy's got the novice, Mitchell Trubisky, who's like Ryan Leaf right now, without the temper or the drug problem, throwing footballs. Run the ball. But you know what? That's what John Fox did last year. And what happened to him? John Fox, I thought John Fox was coaching the second half. I really did, or I was hoping he would.
Well,
and then Dr. Phil, my guy Phil, purposely, beautifully,
yeah,
shows you a Trey Burton in the middle of the field.
Mm-hmm.
Trubisky looks right away almost to his left, doesn't survey the field, throws before 3 seconds is up, which every quarter, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, miss Burton badly, which tells you, you don't trade up for an inexperienced quarterback. You trade up for guys like Peyton Manning. You trade up for pedigree, Jared Goff. You don't trade up for a guy who played 1 year at North Carolina and had limited, has a new coaching staff. You don't. You just don't do it, and now they're paying the price. But that being said, I'm trying to figure out why the Bears are favored this week against Seattle.
Yeah, well, that and the funny thing about that is that three-point line came out before the Packer game. According to Brad Biggs, he said his buddy at Bovado already had the Seahawks at getting 3 points. I was like, does that really happen? Do they lay lines on game before both teams have finished playing their previous game? That's weird, isn't it?
Well, Richard Sherman's not back, but mm-hmm. Bobby Wagner's back. Earl Thomas is back. Russell Wilson's back. I mean, I'm trying to figure out.
Well, Sherman's gone, by the way.
Are favored.
Yeah, Sherman is gone.
I'm trying to figure that out, yet maybe Trubisky had that exhibition game last week he needed.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe he went into the film room. Maybe he'll come out, and maybe Seattle doesn't have the bite that they had before. Here's one thing they do have, a better quarterback. And Russell Wilson kept them in that football game. They lost 27-24 to the Denver Broncos. They pushed on the spread. They were getting three. But they were losing worse. So, I mean, I don't know. The Bear defense better have a better day than they had, basically, last week, if you're going to beat this guy, because he's a winner. And it's hard for me to believe that Seattle would lose and be 0-2, just like it's hard for me to believe that the Bears right now can beat Seattle, but yet they're favored. Vegas knows something.
Greg Brax Jr., who loves you and loves this show, says you can't compare Ryan Leaf to Mitch Trubisky, and that at halftime of Sunday night's game, you were saying more complimentary things about Mike. No way that he could be calling him Leaf back then. So what are your thoughts?
I don't know what he means. Mitch Trubisky had a horrible game.
Well,
he had a horrible game.
Second half was worse than the first.
And you know, the Ryan Leaf thing, okay, what are you going to call him? What are you going to call him? You can't call him a elite quarterback. Mm-hmm. So maybe I went the other way too far. Maybe he's not Ryan Leaf. Okay? Maybe he's Jamarcus Russell, who was a first-round pick in the bus. Maybe. I think Trubisky puts the work in. Look, he was looking to run after 1 second in the pocket last week. He was looking to run. He's tucking the ball. He's not going to last long that way. But I also have, hopefully, some faith that Nagy will call a better game. He had a horrible debut. There's no other way to put it.
I think that's very well put, and really a great segue to this soundbite that I have of Mitch Trubisky. He met the media on Thursday, and he was asked about his comfort in the pocket and the fact that he at times showed that he had happy feet. So listen to this soundbite, and then on the other end, I've got two questions for you, Mike.
One, it comes from me wanting to take care of the football, and then two, not taking sacks. So, yes, it helps our offense in some areas, but it could also get me into trouble when I'm moving sometimes when I don't need to. So I just got to find a happy medium, and in practice it's just going to be pocket movement, moving around defenders in the pocket and continuing to keep my eyes downfield to find receivers. So you try to simulate that as much as possible, but the best place to do that is obviously the game.
So question number one is, clearly, you were right, and a bunch of other people like Draft Dr. Phil were right when they said sitting Mitch Trubisky in that third week of the preseason was a horrible mistake by Matt Nagy.
It was horrific.
Trubisky,
the whole starting team, horrific.
Yeah, Trubisky is saying it right there. He needed that experience in games.
Yeah, I think that Matt Nagy, for his first game, gives me no confidence. Wani Nagy, that's exactly what he was. He was a fish out of water. He basically called the same game that they called in the playoffs.
Yeah.
He lost track of Jordan Howard. I mean, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. You got a bull that couldn't be stopped. You got two downs to get a yard. You're throwing the ball.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what is it? Did you want it? And then he has the other guy, Leno, split out. Hey. You know what? If you need gadgets, if you think the Bear fans are going to fall in love with you with gadgets, you're going to meet the same fate as Trestman did. Trestman had gadgets. You had gadgets your first game, and you met your fate. Hopefully, he'll go more to a pro-style offense this week, quit playing games, run the football as much as he can, and have Trubisky cherry-pick at certain times.
All right. The second part of the question, based on what Trubisky said in that soundbite, is that I think Dow Loggins and John Fox ruined Trubisky. At least they've retarded his progress because they harped so much on protecting the ball, not fumbling, not throwing interceptions and so forth, is that they've made this kid gun-shy. They've made it gun-shy. He's too focused. If his first focus is on protecting the football and not being aggressive and not being a whiskey-drinking quarterback back there, then I don't know what we have in this young guy. He's too timid to play quarterback for the Chicago Bears. Am I right? Does this guy need to be...
It wouldn't have been John Fox's job to teach him how to stand in the pocket.
Mm-hmm.
He played 1 year at North Carolina. I'm going to give you something. Do you know that the guy couldn't beat out his third year at North Carolina?
Yeah.
I forget his name right now.
Yeah.
He's a second-string quarterback in Canada.
Yes, I know.
But what I'm going to tell everybody is, let's knock off the nonsense and quit overrating this guy. Quit putting expectations on this guy, the media, the fans, everybody. Let this guy, he's still a pup. We should have never traded up for him, but it's basically he's a young Cutler right now. A young Cutler who is even as irresponsible as an older Cutler. So he's got to learn. He's only got a little bit of a resume. He's played 26 total games in college and pro. I mean, it's unfathomable. And you know, then you see a guy like Pat Mahomes throw for four touchdowns.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Then you wonder. Okay, Andy Reid, did he miss Wani Nagy? I don't think so. Kansas City went out there and got the job done. And Pat Mahomes, in his first game, throws four touchdowns, and we're still waiting for Trubisky, and he's got to learn how to sit in the pocket and not put his head down, and we're going to blame last year's coach? He should have known all this before he got in.
Well, you make a good point, and I totally get where you're coming from. You're of the family of seeing is believing, and people can go ahead and project that Trubisky will become this, but the fact of the matter is that what we're seeing here is a quarterback that needs a lot more. He has to learn a lot more about being a professional quarterback. And, you know, when he gets up to the podium, I mean, that's about 40 to 60% of what he says. I'm learning. I'm growing. I'm going to get better.
That should never happen for a number two overall pick. You could be learning, but he's learning the basics right now. A number two pick is like a Peyton Manning pick. Even Leaf knew the basics. Mm-hmm. You watch Leaf and you watch Manning, they knew the basics. I'm not, you know, and then it just didn't work out for one, but it sure as hell worked out for the other. You didn't hear Peyton Manning in his second year go, well, you know, I got to learn not to tuck the ball so fast, and I got to, no. A top five pick has to be established already in some way with fundamentals. And then they build from there. They're teaching him the fundamentals now because he didn't get enough fundamentals in his college career, to be honest with you. He couldn't win a job till his senior year. All right, that's unbelievable.
Well, let me give you some more ammunition because this is Trubisky talking about what was going through his head during the two-minute offense late in the game.
I wish I would have had a little bit different mindset going into that. I was thinking, try to make a big play, like win the game right here. And it should have been, for me personally, I think just like stack completions, get one more completion, one more first down. And then once you get that first down, just another first down. Like we saw from the other team, you just dink it down underneath. A missed tackle could turn into a big play. So I should have had more of a completion mindset. And it was a great learning experience. I don't think you'll ever get that exact situation in practice with the noise, the stage, and all that, so is a great learning opportunity for me.
Well, I mean,
which he didn't have in preseason.
Exactly.
And by the way, if you listen to that, he sounds like the quarterback of Rutgers or something. He sounds like a third-year quarterback in college. If you listen to that cut, he does not sound like a pro-type quarterback. If I didn't know it was him, I'd swear that was an interview from some football game on Saturday after the game from a quarterback. Seriously, folks. So he's got to get better. I think he will this week. I think we might be in for a shock again because I was shocked last week when we were up, and I sure as hell was shocked when we went down and we were mismanaged.
Yeah, well, I mean, you picked the game correctly. You did say that you thought the Bears had a chance to win outright, and you were right. They did have a chance. They just didn't execute in that.
Do you remember
half.
What I said? I'll give you one.
Okay.
This is what I do, Aldo. This is what I do, okay? I said to Aldo last week, folks, because I don't have some timers yet. I still remember these things. The Bears had the ball 33 minutes, okay? Mm-hmm. I told Aldo last week, if the Bears have the ball 36 minutes, they'll win the game. You know what those extra 3 minutes would have come? When they run the ball, get the first down. Mm-hmm. And we would have held on to the football instead of giving that ball back.
Mm-hmm.
And 3 minutes, I said 36, it was 33, and basically that's what it came down to, the last big drive. For Aaron Rodgers, who, by the way, I'm not a fan, never been. I think, you know, when you're all that, him and Favre have two Super Bowls in 31 years, you got to do better. But it was a courageous game, and he wasn't faking. He was thrown off one leg. I was amazed.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, I personally think Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback in pro football. I also find him to be the most annoying quarterback, him and Tom Brady. It's funny, when you get very successful, you become very annoying.
Aaron Rodgers has won Super Bowl. Brady's got five.
Yeah.
But Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback in football. He got hurt last year, and he got hurt this year. He may not even play this week. Brady hasn't been hurt till 2008. I'll go with Brady.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be interesting to see who you pick in this Packers game, and we'll get to that in about...
Oh, we got a load of them.
Yeah, we'll get to that in about 15 minutes.
I love this show.
It's fun. It's fun.
It's fun. Listen. You know what? I tell the truth. You can listen to... You know what? People are on Twitter. I go, why aren't you listening to the radio? Why aren't you listening? Because they'd rather talk to us on Twitter or listen to the Bear Advantage or listen to BearsBarroom.com or listen to some of these other podcasts because we're more honest.
That's right. Totally honest, whether you want to hear it or not. But I think
they don't want to hear it.
I think Bears fans are going to want to hear this. Your assessment of this Chicago Bears defense.
All I heard is how great Vic Fangio is. If the Bears were winning 20-0 or 17-0 like in the 80s with Buddy Ryan, no team comes back.
Mm.
They played vanilla. They played not to lose. And Vic Fangio's great defensive coordinator's defense got riddled.
Mm-hmm.
Long gainers, short gainers. Rodgers, you have a guy on 1 foot. How many blitzes were there? Oh, my God. They let this – they never – they really – He sat in the pocket like he was playing catch. So it was a great first half and a horrible second half. But I'll tell you what, I'm so high on Khalil Mack. I talked to Dan Jiggets this week, and Dan said three things, and he says hi to everybody at Bear Barn Room. He says three things killed the Bears. Conditioning, he said, because they didn't play in preseason. They didn't run the ball enough because of that. And basically, he said the coach. That was it.
It's hard to argue with that.
Football's a simple game. And some people, such as John Gruden, tend to complicate things. And then before you know it, you're not concentrating on playing football. You're concentrating on listening to what the coach wants out of you with 55 different plays. Make it simple. Go with four or five plays like Aldo and I have been saying and keep rolling.
Yeah. You're absolutely – or Dan was absolutely right. The conditioning was such an issue in that Sunday night game. It was incredible how tired that defense looked in the fourth quarter, and the fact that they could not put a pass rush up against a gimpy quarterback who you knew was not going to move out of the pocket. That was not head-scratching, but like Shane Marsaw said, he was throwing his remote up against the wall. That was just so frustrating. Unbelievable.
Embarrassing moment. You got the front seven. You got, and what happened to Khalil in the second half? Let's be fair about it.
Got
the
tired.
First half, he played a full game.
Yeah.
Second half, they adjusted. Did anybody else step up? No. Mm-hmm. Where was Akeem Hicks? All I've been hearing is how great Akeem Hicks is. He had the one great play. After that, he disappeared like everybody else.
I think the conditioning was an issue with Akeem Hicks,
too. My God. You cannot go in. I told everybody, you got to spar when you're a boxer every day. You don't sit your starters for 3 weeks and then play the Green Bay Packers. I saw the Ravens last night. There were guys begging to come out in the second quarter on defense because Cincinnati kept the ball. They were taking their helmets off. They were on their knees. What are we, in the baton death march? You got to play football. You got to condition.
Hey, a lot of young football fans don't even know what the term two-a-days means. You know.
Oh, my God. Listen. All I'm going to say is this. I get a kick out of the younger Bear fans. And, you know, it's all about experience. They're all going to learn. They're all going to learn. The hard way, probably, because I don't care. The Bears might go 6-9 or 6-10 this year, and they'll say, oh, what an improvement. Last year they won 5. The media will kiss their ass. They've already given Matt Nagy a honeymoon. I don't give honeymoons, okay? There's no honeymoon. You're being paid by the Bears to win football games. You had one, and for the folks that had the over-under of 6.5, the over, this is a game they might rue the day. If the Bears end up with 5 or 6 wins, this game will not be forgotten if you took the over.
Yep. Okay, let's talk a little bit about the Seattle.
I'm on my game again.
You are.
This is insane.
You're always on fire on the Mike North Advantage. What are you talking about?
I mean, I see nonsense. It just drives me crazy. And then the one thing I want people to do, don't believe what you read in the mainstream media about the Bears. Please, dear Lord. You listen to comments from Trubisky. Hey, and you know what? Here's another thing. Don't give Trubisky credit because he admits that he wasn't ready. Oh, he's so honest. That's what we're hearing now. I don't care. I knew that before. I knew that before he did that press conference that he wasn't ready.
What you want is him to say, I am ready. I just screwed up.
Yes.
Or something like that.
That's all he had to do. He knows he was green. I blame Nagy, Wani Nagy, because he didn't give Trubisky enough work. And when the head coach says that, we didn't drill enough, we didn't practice enough, what do you think's going to happen, man? That was just lazy at all. Jiggs also said, this is a guy that wants to be friends with the players.
Yeah.
You know, he's a former assistant. Sort of not yet in that head coaching mold, patting guys on the back, giving them rest, pumping his fist, and then losing.
There's been some rumblings about some of the players on the defensive end of the squad, and this is unconfirmed allegations, but there's just some rumblings that some of the players on the defensive side are not too happy with Nagy. I won't get into the details here, but I'll just tell you that he has to be really careful that he doesn't turn into Mark Trestman. That can happen really fast. You start to alienate the guys on the defense. Those are the guys with the bigger personalities, the stronger personalities. That's the strength of your team. And if you're alienating them by not spending as much time with them, by not talking about them as much as you do your quarterback, then all of a sudden you've got the same exact problems Mark Trestman had with Lance Briggs, with Peanut Tillman, some of the other veterans on the team who were upset that Brian Urlacher was not at least negotiated with to bring back for another year. So it's a very, very delicate situation, and hopefully Matt Nagy is doing things behind the scenes to bring the team together and not, I mean, you saw Eddie Jackson's quote on Twitter after the game. It was a negative quote, and so that was kind of an inkling as to there's some dissension perhaps growing with the Bears, so we'll be keeping an
eye on
that.
You play at Alabama, and you play for Nick Saban.
Uh-huh, yep.
And you're a pedigree-type back. I love Eddie Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
You know your football. You went through an indoctrination. I guarantee you this. You're absolutely right. Now, a win this week cures all.
It does.
They got their backs against the wall. I'm going to give all you people, this is what I do. On Monday nights, their last 12 games, Seattle's 11-1. Their last 12 Monday night games, Seattle's 11-1. But their last 17 games, the Bears are 12-5 on Monday night.
Mm.
So, you know what? Something's going to give. Something's going to happen. But here's also something that I want to let everybody know. In their last 12 games, Aldo, the Chicago Bears in September are 1-11 straight up.
Well, you
1-11 straight up.
You know what
so
that means.
So, this was a big-time loss for them. And, you know, they call it a gut punch. Is this team young enough? See, I think Khalil Mack will get him back on defense. Who's going to bring him back, and who's going to give him that confidence on offense, especially if something goes wrong early?
Mm-hmm.
Who's the veteran that can go in there and settle down? Maybe Kyle Long? I don't know. You know, I mean, I have no idea. But, you know, you got a bunch of green coaches, and you got a green quarterback. And you know what? Most of the time, that's not good news.
Yep, I totally agree. Well, let's move into the section now where we get your advice. There I go again.
Suggestions. I like when you. I told my bookie the other night, I have a suggestion for a game I'd like to give you. He goes, I don't go on suggestions. I said, so, but you know what? We got. I mean, I'm on fire right now,
yes,
although
are.
I lost last night with the Ravens little. I don't go a lot on Thursday nights because Thursday night, folks, is not only who's got the better team, but who can bounce back from a four-day, you know, after three, 4 days playing on Sunday. I thought Baltimore, because of their cakewalk and winning big by 40-some points.
Yeah.
And less stress would be more prepared to win this game than Cincinnati, who did have a tough time against the Indianapolis Colts, winning 35-23, but it was nip and tuck. But I was wrong, and Cincinnati came out and established themselves early. I think in the early going, Eldo, it's important to get off to a great start until you saw what happened to the Bears. Then the conditioning comes in, and you got to hang on.
You got it. All right, let's get on to your picks, Mike. I am going to roll a little background music, and I'm going to tell you to take it away.
All right, by the way, don't just watch the game this Sunday. Play the game and win $10,000 with Bet Chicago. Download the Bet Chicago app and play today. Bet Chicago is kicking off the 2018 football season by giving away $10,000. As you all know, Chicago taking on Seattle. I think it's down to about 5,000. All you have to do is you can check it out and see where it's at by downloading the Bet Chicago app or go to betchicago.com. Enter your picks to play, and it's completely free. It's no risk, all reward. So why not play? Don't just watch the game Sunday. Play the game and win some cash with Bet Chicago. And they have a lot of good advice, and I put their stuff up on Twitter. So now, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, let's hit the music.
Yes.
I like that. Is this from a movie from the past that I would not know? Is this from Maybe Wyatt Earp or Tombstone?
This is the ESPN NFL primetime.
Oh, sorry. All right, here we go. What would you like for? Would you like me to give you some games?
Yes, please give us some games. I need to do some driveway work. I need some winners.
Listen, let me tell you something. If things get bad, I'll do the driveway. You can pay me. Okay. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Here we go. First of all, I'll give you guys, nobody looked worse. I'm going to give you four games, but here's what we're going to do. We're going to be careful. Now, don't forget, I'm up $790. Okay, we had $500 on KC. We had $300 on the Bears. We had $100 on New England. Can you turn the music up a little? I like it. Oh, you just jolted me. 100 with New York. I love you, Eldo. And now that gives us 790 because we were 3-1. My first game. Oh, yeah. My first game is the Detroit Lions winning over, or not winning, but covering over the San Francisco 49ers. Now, I will tell you this right now. Everybody's going to be looking at what Detroit did last week. They looked horrible. I mean, absolutely. Matthew Stafford looked horrendous. Looked like he wasn't ready to play. They're at San Francisco. They're getting six. I think Matthew Stafford comes back, covers the six. Maybe possibly the Lions win that game. And what I would do with the Lions? 50 units, okay?
50 units.
Only 50 units.
Okay.
No, because I think the Jimmy Garoppolo bandwagon may start to empty out after a week two. He did not have a good game in week one. He came out of nowhere last year, shocked everybody, you know, how good he was. They have more tape on him. They're preparing for him, and Detroit cannot lay another egg. So please, ladies and gentlemen, go light 50 units on the Detroit Lions.
Going light on the Detroit Lions. You heard it. All right.
That's right, baby. Now, I don't know. Where's the music, Aldo? Is it going in and out? Yeah. I can't hear it. I'm a little bothered. You got me off my rhythm. You got me off my game. Turn it down.
We want to hear you, not
dear
the music.
Lord. I'm in no mood for that kind of music right now. I'm still pissed about the beer game. Anyway, here we go. Here's our next one. The Dallas Cowboys, they're playing the New York Giants. Now, I've been high in the New York Giants, as Eldo knows, for a while. Mm-hmm. I've been high in them. I said they got Barkley now. They got Odell Beckham back. They got Eli Manning back. But you know what? I'm tired of the Eli Manning. We won two Super Bowls with them a decade ago or whenever the hell it was. That's done. And I think that now they got to take a close look at Eli Manning because that game was winnable and he could not get it done. And so that's why I am once again going to go very light on the Dallas Cowboys. Another 50 units on the Dallas Cowboys. Now, that's only 100 units out of the 790 we got because I don't feel as good this week as I did last week. And you do not, ladies and gentlemen, want to take all that money, which a lot of amateur guys do, and I did it for years, so I'm no different, and lose it all in the next week.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You take your time. You build slowly. A 100-story building doesn't get built in 2 weeks. That's what we're trying to build here. We're trying to build a 100-story building. So please, dear Lord on high, take the Cowboys -3 for 50. Now, Eldo's going, Mike, for God's sake, you're on fire. I go, I get it. That's why my wagers won't be more than 100 units.
Okay.
For anything this week. I am going with my darlings, my boys, my guys who set the tone last week. I think that they don't miss Matt Nagy at all. I think the Kansas City Chiefs have themselves a bona fide quarterback where Eldo Gandia.
It's me.
When he's right, I put the A on the end. Eldo Gandia told me last week he loved Mahomes.
Yep.
And he was disappointed in preseason.
Yep.
But you know what they did with Mahomes during preseason, Eldo? They played him.
Yeah.
And imagine that. They played him so he'd be ready. And guess what? He's going to be ready again. This guy might end up being Rookie of the Year. Kansas City's at Pittsburgh. Getting 4.5, take the Chiefs. And when I take the S off Chiefs and I do my Harry Carey, hey, take the Chiefs for 100 units.
Woo, I love it. I love
now,
it.
Now, one more.
Okay, this is the big one, right?
There ain't no big one. There's
no,
another 100
big. Okay.
I'm sorry to disappoint you.
No, I'm
you can
not
get you can buy the material for the driveway this week, and next week we'll get the labor.
Okay.
That's the kind of guy I am. Now, we're going to go. This is insane. I'm like a child.
I
really am. I'm like an infant. I've never lost my passion for this game of football that, or for wagering. But I am an infant.
It's so much fun.
It is, isn't it? I've had more fun. I mean, believe me when I tell you this, folks. This is working with the Bears Byron folks and everything. And I mean, nobody broke down Trubisky better than Dr. Phil. Nobody.
Oh, my God.
Just put it up on Twitter and watch.
Yep.
I mean, basically, and Phil was nice to him. Phil was too nice to him, I thought, but Phil's that kind of guy. I'm going with the Colts. The Indianapolis Colts last week with Andrew Luck, they were okay. They played a tough team. Mm-hmm. They played Cincinnati. How'd Cincinnati look last night to everybody?
Pretty
good, right?
Yep.
They're getting 6 against the Washington Redskins. Put 100 on them. Put 100 on them getting 6 against the Washington Redskins. So what we got is we're betting a total of $300. If you lose all three or all four games, you lose $330 on the juice.
Okay.
Minus $790. Now, that would leave you with $460 going into week 3.
Mm-hmm.
If you win them all, you're up over $1,090.
Oh, yeah.
You're almost $1,200 in or $1,100 in.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll go slow this week. Once again, my picks are Chiefs, $400. And you know what? When you call your guy or when you go to Vegas or whatever or you play overseas, you know, get the best value you can. But the Chiefs are an underdog.
Mm-hmm.
The Colts are an underdog. The Lions are an underdog. And the Cowboys are favorites. So those are my four picks for this week, my friend.
Those are great picks. I love them. I've got them written down.
Now, you want me to go through the rest of the board and give a little synopsis of every team?
Absolutely. And then we'll finish with the Bears-Seahawks Monday night game. So take it away.
Oh, yeah. It just brings such joy to my heart. Okay. Here we go. First off, the Cleveland Browns at New Orleans Saints. I got to be straight up with you. I like the Browns in this game, but I wouldn't do nothing. If I had to pick a league where there's a point spread league, I'd take the Cleveland Browns plus the 9. Minnesota at Green Bay is a big football game. Aaron Rodgers right now is in flux. They're not playing the Bear defense that they saw in the second half. They're playing a Mike Zimmer defense with a quarterback, Kirk Cousins, who's going to surprise a lot of people. He got out of the Washington situation. I think it becomes stagnant. Now Alex Smith has got to put up with what's going on over there. I think Zimmer is a defensive-minded coach. I think Minnesota ends up knocking off Green Bay. But once again, I only make 4 picks for this show. I just give you advice for these games. I don't want you to think. I may end up picking them, but I don't want you to take the bankroll on what I'm saying about these games that I did not pick as my overall front four. Now, the Chargers at the Buffalo Bills are minus 7. Phillip Rivers is Phillip Rivers. But Buffalo, with Josh Allen, who I like, may make some noise. But if I had to, I'd take the Chargers minus the 7. Houston, Texans at the Tennessee Titans. The Titans getting 2. If I had to, I think Houston is disappointed for what happened in New England last week, losing by 7. I'd take the Tennessee Titans getting the 2. Philadelphia Eagles at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. How did Ryan Fitzpatrick look for all you Buccaneer fans? I'm not getting off him. If I wanted to bet him, I would probably take Tampa Bay against the Eagles, who looked good at times last week. And then, you know, I'm just wondering. Carolina Panthers at Atlanta Falcons. I like the Panthers getting 6. If you're in a pool, getting 6, point spread pool, that's the way to go. Miami at the New York Jets. I think Sam Darnold gets a rude awakening on that game. I like Miami. Arizona at the Los Angeles Rams. This is big. Arizona Cardinals a couple years ago were all that. The Rams are giving them 12.5. I'm going to take the wood. I would take the wood. New England at Jacksonville in the game of the day. I think, Aldo, they are right now a picket-type game. I love Tom Brady. I think he's the best quarterback in football. I'm amazed at people that say one decade it's Manning, next decade it's Favre, next decade it's Rodgers, and all he does is win Super Bowls or get into the playoffs every single year and just put up such impressive numbers, and he's got that system locked it down where nobody can take it. I can't get off the bandwagon. I'm not going to get off New England's bandwagon, but I think Jacksonville pulls this one out. They're at Jacksonville. I think conditioning, of all things, could come into play, although Belichick plays his starters in preseason while Ronnie Nagy doesn't. So that's enough said about that. Oakland at Denver. The Denver Broncos, I like them. They played Seattle tough. They got a great defense. I like them. They're giving Oakland 6. I like the Denver Broncos in that game. And then we talked about the Giants, the Seahawks, and Indy and them teams. God, I just went through that like nobody. Like butter. Like butter.
Like a hot knife through butter.
That a boy. I like it when you bring up those things. You just make that up. No, I know it's
okay. I love these picks. I love the way you ran it down. Now it's time to talk in depth on the Chicago Bears, Seattle Seahawks Monday night game. Tell me your analysis of this game. Tell me why is it not one of your top four picks for the week?
I can't believe the Bears are favored after what happened. I know they're playing at home. Mm-hmm. But I also look at the Bears at 12-5. I think Seattle does not have the same bite that they did. I know they have Russell Wilson. I know they have Earl Thomas. I know they have Bobby. I know they have a lot of players on defense, but they're all, like, older now. The door's starting to shut on them. Am I to think maybe the defense plays a decent game, keeps us in the game, and we win it? I'm going to ride the Bears. There's no reason for them to be -3.5. There's none. Mm-hmm. There's none. I think Seattle should be favored. So I'm going to take, not as an official pick, but I'm going to tell everybody out there, I think Trubisky comes back, throws a touchdown, throws an interception. You don't want to turn the ball over, but you want to be natural. I think he's got a week of practice under his belt. I think they align some things. Seattle, once again, getting 3.5 with Super Bowl pedigree and a quarterback that doesn't lose. It's very mystifying. I'm going to go illogical here and say I think the Bears are going to cover.
Well, let's listen to what Trubisky had to say about this Seahawks defense, his evaluation of them. Anytime, Aldo.
Yeah, really good defense. They're going to fly around and get after the football, try to create turnovers. So from what I've seen, they just try to keep everything in front of them and then swarm to the ball. Very fast, aggressive defense. They got a lot of great players. And they don't have as many calls, but they're really good at what they do. So they're a sound defense. They got different techniques that they play by corners, so we'll hopefully be able to simulate that in practice this week. But great opportunity and great challenge for us this weekend.
Earl Thomas is the super safety of the Seahawks, and he's the guy I think that Mitch Trubisky is going to be most concerned about. And then Bobby Wagner, that inside linebacker, is another great player. Those two players are the players that Trubisky is going to be keying on. I'm sort of with you, though. I think that the Bears are going to prevail in this game. The Seahawks, with Russell Wilson, gave up 6 sacks last week, and brain fart on who they played last week. Oh, the Denver Broncos.
Denver.
Right.
They played a very great defense.
Right. Well, yeah, but I think this Bears defense is better than the Broncos, so maybe the Bears are going to get their own share of sacks against Russell Wilson, which is...
I don't know if I'm ready to make that yet. The Bears defense is better than the Broncos. Okay. I mean, I'm not ready to make that commitment after what I saw last week. I'm not. I know they're playing, and they're playing another super quarterback. Mm-hmm. Aaron Rodgers to Russell Wilson. A flip a coin. But I'm looking for the offense to help, and I'm looking for them to run the ball. I think the worst thing you can do is try to overthink. You know, Mitchell said something, Trubisky said something that was pretty apropos of what I've been, and you've been proposing for years. We talked about the Green Bay Packers. We said they did 5 great things well, the old Packers in the 60s and 70s, and they did them well. Did you hear what he said about Seattle? They don't have many calls.
Right.
They do what they do. Mm-hmm. I think they don't complicate things, which I think will help Mitch.
Mm-hmm.
His head won't get scrambled. So I think that's going to help. I think if you don't run the ball, if you abandon the run this time, then you were lying, Wani Nagy, about last week learning. Because if you look back, he's even said the pass play was stupid.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yes.
They made some pass plays when they should have run. When you're owning an offensive line or a defensive line like the Bears were with the run, you keep running. And here's the thing. Seattle does not have, in my opinion, the defensive line they used to have. They're strong in linebacker, although older, and secondary's okay, but there's a man named Richard Sherman not around. So things have changed for Seattle. That's why I think the Bears got a slugger's chance.
Mm-hmm. I am with you.
Right.
I'll tell you what, if the Bears are 0-2 after this game, I'm hitting a panic button. And I know that some people in the chat room are going to say, crazy, y'all. Come on. It's only two games and stuff. I am in a panic mood.
You know what? Here's what I'll tell those people once again. 0-2, only 8% of the teams that go 0-2 make the playoffs.
Mm.
So they could say whatever they want. The trend is your friend here.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't a little small sampling. This is the history. If you, as the way the playoffs are now, if you start out 0-2, you're screwed, period.
Mm-hmm.
Now, am I supposed to believe that Seattle, if they start out 0-2, is screwed? I don't think so. But if the Bears start out 0-2, I think so.
Yeah, I am with you.
Right?
Yep, I am with you.
Who's going to be our performer of the week?
Yeah,
that's the key. I mean, we need, and here's another thing we're not talking about. When you get plays to make like Fuller did,
mm-hmm.
you got to make it.
Yep.
If you make that play, but people are going, oh, we should have held on to it. There's a reason you're a defensive back instead of receiver.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Peanut Tillman told me that. Although I think Peanut Tillman could have been a great receiver. Peanut Tillman
said
they make usually defensive backs, and I had heard this from Doug Buffone and other people, you're a defensive back because you couldn't catch.
Right.
But they still get interceptions, and I think that was one that was in the old breadbasket. It wasn't one he had to reach for. It was maybe he was distracted by the player or something, but you got to make that play, and if you do, the Bears win.
Yeah, the receiver fell, and I think he may have momentarily taken his eye off the ball.
And how different is this show today had the Bears won that game?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
we're saying we're going to kick Seattle's ass. There's no way. They're not the same team. We're going to be 2-0. You know what? The NFC, I mean, we got to worry about Minnesota, but Green Bay's got Rodgers hurt in the second. You know, he may not play the second game. Stafford looked like crap. I mean, we got a whole different ball game, don't we, Al?
Oh, my goodness. My hangover would have been gone by now if the Bears would have won Sunday night.
You know what? I thought that. The way it's a shame, because if you remember, I said to the fans or to the listeners or to the people out there that listen to the show and make money and learn mm-hmm. and get educated,
mm-hmm.
I said to them, if you remember, I said if the Bears lose 26-20, if they lose 24-20, if they lose 19-16, that's a moral, and I don't like moral wins usually. That's a moral win.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Bears covered, but in the worst possible way. They were winning, they should have won, and they got their throats cut in the second half. So it was a close game, but it was a devastating loss for a close game, where I thought a close game last week for the Bears would be good, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. You know, it was just the way they lost this game, like you said.
That's right.
It was just disheartening.
They got their hearts cut out and stomped on.
Yeah.
And when people I don't think players are conditioned to basically move on. I think the problem I had, and this is why Matt Nagy, and do you predict Matt Nagy next year plays the starters in preseason?
Yes.
Okay. Let me ask you this. How much? You know what hurt Nagy more than anything?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't play the starters, so when there was a situation and Trubisky would call timeout, they could go over something in a game situation.
Right.
Or he had to sharpen his pencil in the preseason. He didn't. He's a guy that said, this is the truth, folks. This came out of a pro coach's mouth. We practiced so good mm-hmm. I'm not playing anybody in the third game of the season. That would be like me, and I coached 6 years in basketball with Tom Les from Notre Dame High School in Niles, Illinois. We won 20 games a year. I can't imagine Tom Les going, boy, what a week of practice. Let's not play the starters against St. Pat's. Are you crazy? Are you crazy? Nobody would think of that except this goof. So he better wake up.
He better wake up because my blood pressure depends on what he does this upcoming Monday night. All right, I need to shift gears here because the last 3-4 minutes of the show, I'd like to devote to just a little talk about the Chicago Cubs. They hold this slim game and a half lead. I know you like baseball. I know your opinion here is valued. What do you think about these Cubs? Are they going to hold on to this division lead? And if you were a betting man in baseball, you know, are you going to bet that they're going to have some success the rest of September and into the playoffs?
Well, first of all, although I'd like to say our final thoughts brought to you by Vidoliak Law Group. Vidoliak Law Group is a Chicago and Nashville law firm that has been fighting insurance companies since 1963. The Vidoliak Law Group offers reduced fees for those in uniform, military, veterans, police, fire. If you have been injured, call 844-4-VLG-LAW. That's 844-4-VLG-LAW, or visit them at Vidoliak, VRDOLYAK.com to get the money you deserve. So we want to thank both BetChicago and Vidoliak Law Firm and Pete Vidoliak and Frank and all the guys at BetChicago for the wonderful sponsorships for the Mike North Advantage and for Bears Barroom. Now, it was a devastating game for Joe Madden. Joe Madden brought back memories yesterday of his managing in Game 7 from a few years back. He batted stroke, which is inexcusable when you have guys on the bench. He was going to have him pitch a third inning, which he hadn't done. Sooner or later, guys are going to get hurt when they're playing out of position, for instance. Bryant in right field. I mean, what is he doing? He's moving guys around. He's trying to make it about him. And people and Cub fans have thought about that. But that being said, I would say this. Because of the mainstream media's fear of Reinsdorf in this town, Joe Madden, who's taken the Cubs to the playoffs every single year and won a world championship after 108 years and is an average game manager at best, will still come out smelling like a rose and get the Cubs into the playoffs. I think they'll end up winning it. Stroop is a concern, no doubt, but I think the bats got to wake up. They got to start getting all their guys back together. But there's no question in my mind that, you know what, Cub fans are nervous. And Robin Ventura took less heat in this town than Joe Madden has taken. And that's wrong in 100 different ways. Joe Madden has been winning every single year, but he had a stinker yesterday that brought back memories of Game 7 in 2016.
Yeah, you know, the thing about Madden is it just always seems like he tries so hard to be the smartest guy in the room, and sometimes that stuff just backfires, and when it backfires, it's just amplified because of all the talent that he has and, you know, and the fact that he's got this winning record. But I hear you. He deserves the benefit of the doubt.
I just could not believe, and Contreras had a horrible game.
Yes.
I mean, he comes in late and strikes out. You know, and then there's a pitch that got by him. You know, they just don't seem, you know, they've been coddled. I mean, he's got to quit worrying about. The other day he was worried. He wanted to change Zobrist, a ball he hit from an error to a hit in the second inning. Mm-hmm. He made umbrage with the official score. Concentrate on the big picture, Joe. Mm-hmm. Quit worrying about that nonsense. Quit worrying about, oh, we have to go to Washington. I'd rather postpone it because of the storm and everything. They didn't even want to play. So he's got to quit his moaning. He's got to quit taking up for the players so much. Just concentrate on winning. They'll take care of you if you do the right thing. But, my God, the belly aching. My brother's in a wheelchair, and he hears the Cubs are tired. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You're playing baseball. You're making millions of dollars. Shut the F up, go get it, and go grab the ring. Because they are very capable of being the 85 Bears. One-hit wonders. Mm. They really are right now. And don't tell me they don't miss Arrieta. I don't care what his record is. Darvish killed him at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, I hear you. All right, Mike, we are going to close the show. I just want to I'm going to let you grab your breath because you will close the show, but I just want to remind people that the next time we fire up the MixLR.com machine is Sunday morning, 8 a.m. when the Barfly Tailgate Show gets together. They're going to talk football. They're going to talk Bears. They're going to have some funny skits. They're going to have some music. They're going to just be a bunch of regular Barflies having their own tailgate party with the microphones on. So make sure you join them at 8 a.m. And then Monday night, 15 minutes after the Bears beat the Seattle Seahawks, it'll be Danny Shimon and myself with post-game comments, with the live press conference from Matt Nagy, and that top analysis by Danny Shimon. And then Bears Hour Live will move from Monday to Tuesday, and then Bears, everything shifts around a little bit. But I can tell you this, next Friday, Mike North is back right here with the Mike North Advantage on MixLR.com and with the podcast on your podcast stream, and go to BearsBarroom.com. If you want information on Bet Chicago and the Vidoliak Law Firm and weren't able to write down all that stuff, just go over to BearsBarroom.com. Scroll down to the Mike North section and you will see the ads for them. Click it on and you will be directed to those websites for your needs.
Yeah, and I'm glad you straightened that. One thing, Jeff Schwartz, one of our great partners and friends, he said, do we have a post-game show? Are you guys, are you out of your mind? It's Bears Barroom.
That's right.
Of course we have post-game shows.
That's right.
I said, and we're going to have one this coming Monday. We're having a great run. I really want the Bears to win this game so badly. I don't think anybody wants to be 0-2, but one of these teams, unfortunately, is going to be 0-2. And once again, let me just state this for everybody's edification. After what happened last week, we're favored. So I'm smelling something. Be careful of the trap. Go light if you take the Bears, but take the Bears.
I love it. Mike North, you are a Chicago institution, and we're so lucky and fortunate that you've decided to partner
with us. That's
not
what some people were saying about me on Twitter this morning. I love Twitter. I love the people. I'm a man of the people.
You are a man of the people.
I'm welcome to all communities.
Say goodbye, Mike.
Goodbye.